coming to you from deep inside the vaults of the Holmes Archive of Electronic Music. I am Tom Holmes, your curator and guide to vintage electronic music and audio experimentation. This episode, Noises from the Past. Hi there, welcome to the Archive of Electronic Music. This episode features some important and interesting works consisting largely of noise. Some date from the days of 78 RPM records, some from the era of tape music. Still others exist as recordings of live performances. Most of these tracks are excerpts of longer works so that I could fit them all into the podcast. No editing, however, has been done other than to shorten the original tracks. I'm offering these works in chronological order. I did that because I thought that the evolution of noise music would be pretty dramatic when viewed in a time order sequence like that. However, what I actually found was that noise used in music from the 1920s and 30s often bore more similarities than contrast to music of later decades. Noise is innately shocking, energizing, and befuddling all at the same time. Perhaps the only real difference between now and the past is our acceptance of noise as an element of music. Among the 12 tracks that follow are an original 78 RPM recording of a futurist noise intoner, an optical recording of a film soundtrack, loud and controlled feedback using the human voice, a tiger purring, voices modified and jumbled, and a cybersonic live performance with a horn, among other tracks. So let's begin our excursion into noises from the past, and I can talk a little bit more about the pieces afterward. Let's begin with the two oldest tracks. Track number one, Chorale and Serenata by Antonio Brusolo, recorded in 1921, released in 1924. And track number two, Volcanende by Walter Ruttmann from 1930. Thank you.
Hallo, Fräulein. Bitte dünn auf 42-4-0.
Erlkönig.
Ich verbitte mir das!
Bitte.
Wer reitet so spät durch Nacht und Wind? Es ist ja...
Fräulein, Sie haben mich ja falsch verbunden. Dön auf 42. Vier.
4 mal 4 ist.
Vierter Stock, Spielwaren, Schuhwarenladen, Lebensmittelabteilung.
Bitte erlauben Sie mir doch.
Und erlauben wir uns?
Erlauben Sie mal.
Wie ebenso dringend wie höflich.
Hallo, Fräulein.
Mein Sohn.
Aber Fräulein.
Mein Sohn. Es ist
zum Rasend werden. Kollege, kommt gleich. Na Gott sei Dank. Hallo.
Mein Vater.
Hallo.
Here's a rundown of what you just heard. Track number 1, Antonio Russolo, Chorale and Serenata, 1924. Antonio was Luigi Russolo's younger brother. Both were part of the Italian Futurist art movement and bore a fascination with industrial sounds and modern technology. This is the only recorded example of an authentic intonarumori, or noise intoner. Not an electronic instrument. It was basically a mechanical noise-making device, of which they designed many. One of these noise intoners is heard as part of a small instrumental ensemble. Track 2, Walter Ruttmann, Wochenende, or Weekend in English, 1930. This track is an early example of recorded optical sound, a technology that was developed for the talking pictures. Ruttmann composed the piece as a kind of movie for radio, and it was originally broadcast in Germany in 1930. Next, we'll listen to the following two tracks. Track number 3, Elsa Marie Pade, Symphony Magnetophonique, 1958. And track number 4, Robert Ashley, Wolfman, recorded in 1964, released in 1967.
Thank you.
We just listened to the following tracks. Track number 3, Elsa Marie Padet, Symphony Magnetophonique, 1958. Padet was a pioneering composer of electronic music in Denmark. She had learned the basics of tape composition in France and Germany, which were hotbeds of the electronic music scene in the early 1950s. Working for Danish radio, she constructed Symphony Magnetophonique from sounds recorded on the street, along with canned sound effects available to her in the radio archive. The form of the work is that of a single day in the life of Copenhagen, moving chronologically from the morning to the evening, from the quiet of one's home to the bustling city and back again. Track number 4, Robert Ashley, Wolfman, 1967. This piece is from a sound sheet issued by Source Magazine, number 1, in 1967. For Wolfman, Ashley exploited a simple phenomenon that we've all experienced. When amplification is loud enough and a microphone close enough, feedback will occur. This recording of a live performance manipulates feedback intentionally through a clever performing technique requiring little equipment other than a microphone, amplifier, tape recorder, and speaker system. The level of amplification is set high enough to the point of feedback for the given audio space. The performer delivers vocalizations while keeping the mouth in very close proximity to the microphone. This results in modulation of the feedback and, as Bob told me, you actually create a model of the room in the size of the vocal cavity. He accompanied himself with a tape of some electronic music, which accounts for the incidental electronic sounds. The acoustics expert in Bob was fascinated by this technique, and he said it was also an overwhelming experience for the audience because nobody understood how the sound was being made. Let's now hear the next 3 examples of noise music. Track 5, John Cage and David Tudor, Variations 4, from 1965. Track 6, an Olivetti typewriter record lesson, 1968. Track number 7, Anaya Lockwood, Tiger Balm, 1970.
Thank you. the check, babe.
E space nerve N E R V E space boxing B O X I N G space
So what we heard were the following tracks. Track number 5 is John Cage and David Tudor, Variations 4, 1965. Of the tracks I'm including in this episode, this one is probably the best known. Cage was famous for having declared as early as 1937 that musical sound could incorporate noise. After Cage said that, it was as if all bets were off when it came to using noise. But it really took many long years for the idea of noise in music to become popular outside of experimental music. Now we hear it everywhere, in samples and soundscapes. This live recording of Variations 4 does not reveal the form of the composition. To the average listener, it just sounds unorganized and impromptu, but nothing could be further from the truth. The score calls for any manner of sources and performers. The sources, in this case, were 7 tape recorders, each operated by an individual, and their position in the gallery were determined by Cage using chance operations. And what you'll hear are recordings and projections of things such as radios, oscillators, amplified small sounds from a lounge area, and so forth. What the recording is unable to capture is the spatiality associated with the particular place, and the liner notes don't really mention this either. The overall effect, no matter how it was achieved, nonetheless gives the impression of noisiness. Track number 6, Olivetti Typing Lesson, 1968. Just a snippet from this recorded lesson. Track 7, Anaya Lockwood, Tiger Balm, 1970. This recording was also issued on a sound sheet from Source Magazine, in this case in 1971. Tiger Balm is an exploration of the other side of noise, sounds that can be calming, contemplative, and dreamlike. The next 3 tracks include track number 8, Laurie Spiegel, 4 Short Visits to Different Worlds, Minds, 1971. Track number 9, Pulsar, NASA recording, 1975. Track 10, Giselle Ricard, Le Vuem, 1980.
Je t'aime, moi.
We just listened to the following tracks. Track 8, Lori Spiegel, Four Short Visits to Different Worlds, Mines, 1971. This work by Lori Spiegel preceded her stint at Bell Labs as a computer engineer and composer. At the time of this recording, she was working with a Buchla analog synthesizer at Mort Subotnick's studio in New York. This work is short and presented in entirety. When I first listened to this, I hadn't thought that it was synthesized noise. I got in touch with Lori to ask her about this, and it is indeed all synthesis. It's just that she disguised the signal so well. As she told me, and these are her words, she was modulating a sine wave with a white noise generator of the Buchla to get that fuzziness, that amorphous quality, into what would otherwise have been too clear and simple a sound, a pure sine tone. She also told me this interesting fun fact, and these are her words again. At some point in 1971 or so, there was a period when one of Buchla's oscillators started making some extraneous noise. Instead of considering it a problem, those of us who were using the system, including Rhys Chatham and Elian Radig, each worked that unavoidable noise into our music as though we had each intentionally created it. Track 9, Pulsar, NASA recording, 1975. This is a noise from space, courtesy of NASA. Track 10, Giselle Ricard, Je Vous Aime, 1980. Ricard was long established in the Quebecian world of Canadian electroacoustic music before creating this piece in 1980. Je Vous Aime is composed largely of voices young and old, talking and singing, processed and edited as a dense assemblage of colliding noise sounds. This episode about noise music will conclude with the following tracks. Track 11, Gordon Mumma, Cybersonic Horn Performance, Live, 1980. And track 12, Operating Theater, Rapid Eye Movements, 1981. The tracks we heard were track 11, Gordon Mumma, a live cybersonic horn performance from around 1980. The origins of this recording are mysterious to me. I think it dates from the 1980s. I have two versions, neither of which has much documentation, so I assume that they are both unofficial. But I think this may have taken place in the Netherlands. The work features Gordon playing his French horn and cybersonic console. The cybersonic console monitored the resonances of the horn in the performance space and adjusted its electronic circuits to complement these resonances. It emitted a feedback-like sound, and the similarity to Ashley's Wolfman with its sensitivity to the acoustic environment is not lost on this piece. Track 12, Operating Theater, Rapid Eye Movements, 1981. Operating Theater was a music theater group formed by Irish actress Olwyn Fourier and composer Roger Doyle. Doyle is credited with creating this album. This tape piece uses a mixture of electronic and acoustic sources to create a kind of a dreamlike discourse of sound and noises. As you probably know, there are many, many more examples of noise music. I've selected things that I believe are interesting and historic, but you may have other suggestions, so please let me know. This episode's archive mix features Piccadilly Pickle by Lady Nelson and the Lords from 1968, and Fragments by Pneumonists, an artist collective and musical group from Fort Collins, Colorado in the early 1980s. These two records are played simultaneously and are not manipulated in any way, leaving all audio and musical interactions to chance. All music heard on this podcast, unless otherwise indicated, comes from the Holmes Archive of Electronic Music, a curated collection of vintage vinyl recordings. All crackles, surface noise, and other imperfections heard in these recordings are courtesy of the original media. If you like books, for a comprehensive history, maybe read Electronic and Experimental Music, 6th edition by Tom Holmes. Go to tomholmes.com for a playlist for this episode.